This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كبرت أبطالنا زجرت أسادنا كبرت أبطالنا زجرت أسادنا.
I was asked a question regarding the importance of unity. Now, I am pretty sure every single Muslim understands the importance of a community built on unity, built on cooperation, built on love and genuine, true brotherhood. What I can remember is the story which you all have heard many a times, which is the story of the three bulls. This parable is one of the most important stories that clearly illustrate to us the significance of brotherhood, the significance of unity, the importance of being together. United we stand, divided we fall. United we stand, but divided we fall. There once lived three bulls, a red, black and white bull. These three bulls were extremely united, powerful and strong. Together, they grazed the sweet, lush, tasty, beautiful, green grass. Together, united, they stood. Powerful, courageous, strong, effective, untouchable, and unbeatable. Together they lived. I repeat, together they lived against all odds. They lived although they were surrounded by powerful, strong, ferocious, hungry, untamed, wild beasts. But they lived together, united. Nearby, there was a powerful, ferocious, hungry lion. He lay in ambush. He lay not far from these three bulls, hoping, just hoping to make them his prey. But he realized that it is impossible, absolutely impossible, to contend with three united, I repeat, united bulls. So what did he do? He plotted and plotted. He thought and thought. And he came up with the most brilliant strategy for his predicament. A strategy or a tactic that is utilized by the greatest military generals of the world in order for them to become triumphant upon their opponents. And we all know what this strategy is. One of the greatest strategies to defeat your enemy, and that is divide and conquer. Divide and defeat. Divide and devour. A strategy that will succeed. whoever utilizes it. So this powerful lion, he goes to the black and red bull, while the white bull was away, not far, but a little away from these two bulls. And he argues with them, "I am ferocious, I am powerful, I am hungry, but you see that white bull over there?" He's talking to her, to the red and black bull, to the brothers of that white bull. So he says to them too, "You see that white bull over there? He is a threat to both of you." See what he's creating here? He's creating fear. He's creating a scare tactic. He's creating suspicion. He wants to divide them. "See that white bull," he said to them, "that white bull is a threat to you if you allow him to live." Why? "Because of his white complexion. He gives you away," he said to them. That is the enemy. See how they work? They induce in you fear towards others, and the others so are supposed to be your brothers. So they thought and thought about this situation. Maybe it's true. Maybe he does give us away. Maybe he's too conspicuous. What do? They sat together. They fought together. They spoke to each other. And they came with a conclusion. A conclusion which is the worst thing ever. A catastrophic consequence that would reach or lead them to their ultimate end. They gave in to the lion's plot. What did they do, Ya Muhammad? They gave in. Out of fear for their own welfare, out of fear for their surrounding, the beautiful, sweet, lush green grass, the beautiful life, the beautiful air, the beautiful, 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 take him. As long as we're safe, take him. No problem. And in no time, the powerful canines, the powerful, ferocious canines of that lion dug deep into the white bull's neck. And as he was breathing, this poor white bull, his last breaths, he looked towards his brother, red and black bull, looked for desperate aid. Desperate help, need. "Ya Ikhwan, I'm dying, help me," he was crying out to him. "Oh brothers, where are you? You're watching me, being eaten." That's the story. And they did nothing. Not did only nothing. They boycotted their friend, their security, their safety, their strength, their unity. But most importantly, they boycotted their brother. They boycotted their brother, amputating him as though he does not exist. Time went by. Now, the lion has a full gut. He's strong. He's full. He went away. But did he go away really? No. Don't forget, this is a plot. There are three big, giant, massive mills there. And the only way he's going to destroy them and eat them is to divide them. Time went past, he came back. But only this time, Yashadab, he came back to what? A weaker fight! Two is weaker than three. It was a weaker fight! Divide and devour. That is his strategy. So he still knew that he cannot defend or beat or contend with two strong united bulls. So he went to the red bull and argued and argued. I am this and I am that. I am ferocious and hungry and powerful. As long as you allow me, the black bull, I will leave you in peace. He will leave him in what? In peace. Was not that the first condition of eating the white bull, that he leaves them in peace? Does the enemy ever want to leave you in peace? Absolutely not. Don't ever, ever feel secure. Don't ever, ever feel secure when it comes to those who do not like you. Ever. No matter how much they pamper you, pet talk you, sweet talk you, no matter how much they show they love you, never, ever feel secure. So he goes up to the Red Bull and he argues his fact. I am ferocious and I am powerful and I am hungry. And as long as you allow me, that black bull, your brother, I will leave you in peace. Now the Red Bull, fear entered him. He looked at his surrounding, beautiful, lush, sweet, green grass. Tasty. Huh? Tasty. They think the dunya is tasty. Is the dunya tasty? No. It's a mirage. It's a delusion. There's no taste in it. There's no sweetness in it. It may seem that way, but it's nothing but a delusion. It's not there. So the Red Bull looked around, thought about his welfare, became scared. He fell to the plot again. He boycotted his brother Black Bull, forgetting what happened earlier on. So in no time, the powerful canines dug deep into the black bull's neck. And as he was breathing his last breaths, he looked at his brother Red Bull, and he did nothing. Ya Akhi, help me! Ya Muslim, help me! It's okay. Inna lillahi wa inna raji'un. I'm still eating. Nothing. The lion went. Big gut. He's succeeding. He's winning the game here. He is the smarter. Hence, time elapsed. Naturally, he's gonna get hungry again, correct? So again he comes. But to what? There is no more competition. There is no more arguments. There is no more challenge. There is no fight. He stood before the Red Bull. And the Red Bull, as soon as he saw him, he looked deep in the innermost regions of his ferocious, powerful, hungry eyes and saw only one thing. He saw death enveloping him. He's out to kill. He's won the game. And in no time, being by himself, powerless, weak, vulnerable, defenseless, no brother, no strength, no unity, no security, he let them all go. He let his guard down. He let his shield down. He let his brothers die before his very eyes. He was the last to be killed. So in no time, the powerful king in arms wrapped around the red bull's neck, dug deep into his neck, all the way to his carotid vein. And as he was breathing his last breath, he cried out a statement that should be written in gold. Ukiltu yawma ukila thawrul abyad. I was killed, not today, but the day the white bull was killed. He cried out, I was killed, I was eaten, the day when I allowed my brother to be taken. And my brother to be taken. I signed my death certificate then. I signed my execution then. I have been on death row ever since I allowed my brother and my brother and my strength, my unity, my security, my everything go due to my own desire. Due to my own nafs. Hence, this is the result. This is the importance of unity. Do we see how important unity is? Brothers, can you imagine a community which is built on unity, who love each other for one reason? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine a community that Allah loves? Because they love one another only for His sake. Now what or who can ever dent or hurt or harm or penetrate into such strength? If Allah loves you for that reason, who can harm you? If Allah loves you for that reason, who can ever plot against you and succeed? Impossible. If Allah loves you because of what you are doing, which is uniting on His love, holding together on His love, who in the world can prevent you from progress? Who in the world? Brothers, understand this. Brotherhood in Islam, unity in Islam, is likened to a pair of hands. A what? You could say? A pair of hands. It's likened to a pair of hands. One of which washes the other. And the Prophet once, he interlocked his hands, his fingers like this, to demonstrate the importance of true brotherhood in Islam. Now, if you have grease on the back of your hand, can you wash it off? You cannot. You need the other hand to assist you. But by yourself, that grease, that filth will remain on your hand. So the other hand complements, assists, benefits, aids, helps, cleans the other hand. Can you see the importance of brotherhood? Can you see the significance of brotherhood? One of which washes, cleans, benefits, aids, betters the other. So if you see your brother, which is your other hand, in trouble, you jump to it. Not Allah, you think, oh, I might be this, or I might be that, or I might lose this, or I might lose that. What are you? I mean, what nonsense are you really believing in? What brotherhood do you believe in? It's not the brotherhood of Islam. That's the brotherhood of the dunya, which is empty, no substance. This is why Ali ibn Husayn ibn Ali once mentioned, listen to this profound explanation of brotherhood. Wallahi, so profound. He once said to a man, his companion, he said, does one of you place his hand in the pocket or in the purse of his brother, of his what? Brother, without his permission, and take what he needs? The man said, no. No. No one does this. He said, well, this is not true brotherhood. This is not true, genuine brotherhood. See the importance of brotherhood in Islam? Why do we say all the time, love for your brother, what you love for yourself, when you don't even act upon it? All we hear, أَحُبَّكَ فِي اللَّهِ أَحُبَّكَ كَمَا أَحُبُّ لِنَفْسِي. Nonsense. We're quick to talk. We can jump 50 hurdles. But when it comes to the reality of proving your true love for your brother, you are nowhere to be seen. SubhanAllah, how profound is this explanation of brotherhood, honestly? How profound. Like, can you put your hand in your brother's purse or your brother's pocket without him even knowing? That's brotherhood. This is brotherhood. Without him even knowing, and take what you need. Can you really do this? You think about it. If a brother came to you and saw your wallet, purse, and this brother is in need of paying his rent, and he saw a bunch of notes in there, and you don't even know that he's looking at that, and he removes it, and later he told you, Yahi, I took some money for the rent. See what the test is. What would you say? What would you say? This is the examination, Ya Akhwah. This is true brotherhood. This is the true meaning of Akhwah fillah. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwah. It's not just a word, as we said before. They threw it on the tongue and then out there. Oh, I love you, bro. Love you, bro. You didn't give me a handshake. Brother, I love you, man. And when the crunch comes and the heat comes, yeah, where are you? I thought you loved me. Where'd you go? You love him? You're just a big mouth. That's what you are. You don't love him in reality. You, in fact, can't stand him. Because words are cheap, but actions are very expensive. A lie. We heard about the narration which I mentioned a few weeks ago. Ibrahim ibn Adham, a great predecessor. Oh, what a man he was. He was traveling to Jerusalem. Allahu Akbar, and what will make you know what Jerusalem is?
And a man comes running to him and says, Ya Ibrahim, I want to be your companion in travel. I want to be your brother in travel, he said. In what, Ya Suhail? In travel. Do you know the meaning of this? I want to be your brother in travel. What does this mean? So Ibrahim was examining this individual, if he understood what he is saying. Because to say, I want to be your brother in trouble, means so much. So he said to him, he was examining him,
Yes, no problem, but under one condition. You want to be my companion, my brother, in trouble? No problem. But one condition. What is the Ibrahim, whatever, it's Tommy. I'd love to be your brother in trouble. He said to him, as long as I have equal rights to your belonging. As long as I have equal rights to your goods, your belonging. The man said, equal rights? I worked hard for my stuff. I worked hard for my money. I worked hard for my amount. I worked hard for what I have. Equal rights? He goes, yeah, Ibrahim, I can't do that. So Ibrahim said to him, well, I admire your sincerity. In other words, don't play games. Don't say you want to be my brother in travel, but you don't want to fulfill the meaning of brother, brotherhood. Brothers, do you understand what brotherhood means? Do you really understand this word? Many, 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 many of us do not understand it. All we know is how to viciously and savagely launch attacks on one another. Wallahi. All we know is how to envy one another, backbite one another, hurt one another. That's all we do. This is not brotherhood. Even the enemies out there don't do this. The enemies out there don't do what we do to one another. And yet we call each other, oh, we're brothers. We're united under one unison. Where is it? Where is it? If a man came to another man today, if Ahmed came to Muhammad today and said, yeah, Muhammad, brother, you've got two cars sitting in your driveway and I'm in desperate need for one of your cars. I need to take my family to the hospital, or I'm just in need to go to work, or I'm in need of your car that's sitting underneath your carport that you're not using. Did you know that the other, that Ahmed, if he said it to Muhammad and Muhammad did not give him that car, he will be committing a sin? This is brotherhood, ya ikhwan. This is loving your brother, or you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Don't ever let your brother be sad and you still see him in a sad state and you just allow it to be. Ask him, ya akhi, what's the problem? How can I help you? You don't look happy today. This was the sunnah of the greatest man that lived on this earth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was a sunnah. Whenever he saw a companion in a state of depression or a state of sadness, he would say, ya fulan, why are you such in a sad state? If I see my brother struggling, no matter what section of life he's struggling in, I want to go and see why he's struggling, how I can help this brother of mine in the best way possible. Not just turn my back on him.